Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the 8th chapter. I won't read the entire thing for you at this time. I hope you heard it well, but I especially want to focus on these couple of verses from this reading. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone guides me?" And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the eunuch was reading this passage of the scriptures. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And Philip began with that very passage of the scriptures and told him the good news about Jesus. This is our text. Please be seated. Recently, the Partnership for a Drug-Free America released a television spot that I thought was very, very effective. I don't know if you've seen it. But as the scene begins, we see this girl leaving her house. And as she's out on the front porch and the door, front door is shutting behind her, she shouts out to her mom, "Goodbye!" Just seconds later, out in front of her house, she's out at the street curb now, and she's just ready to dart out into the street, when all of a sudden mom is standing right there next to her and reminds her daughter to look both ways before crossing the street. And the girl does. She goes out into the street to a car. One of her friends inside the car opens the door for her, and right then and there again, there stands mom right next to her daughter and reminds her, "Say thank you." And so the daughter says thank you. Next, she gets into the back seat of the car. And right then and there, there's mom already in the car sitting right next to her. And now this time, mom reminds her daughter, "Buckle up." And so the girl buckles up. And then it's at that point where one of this girl's friends in the front seat turns around and offers her a joint of marijuana. This time, the mom does not appear by her daughter's side. And the girl looks confused, like she doesn't know what to do in this situation. And then the voiceover says, "If you never told her, how will she know what to do?" Pretty powerful. A very similar question was asked by the Ethiopian in our text as he was traveling in the region of Gaza, which today would be the seat of government for the Palestinian Authority. This man had apparently been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship God at the temple. He is one of these people that the Bible refers to as God-fearers, not Jewish, but nevertheless drawn to the God and to the scriptures of the Jews. So he had been up in Jerusalem worshiping God, was now making his way back home to Ethiopia, and as he's going along in his chariot, he's reading the scroll of Isaiah. And do you know what that makes him? A first century distracted driver. You know, of all of the things I've seen that distract drivers, putting on makeup and combing hair and reading maps or newspapers and cell phones, I have yet to see what Philip encountered that day. I've never seen a driver yet who is distracted by the scriptures. But boy, wouldn't a pastor love to deal with that problem, huh? To have to get up in front of the congregation and say, "Folks, listen, I know how much you love the Word of God, but you've at least got to put it down when you're driving." Well, or we could remember the words of the prophet Nahum. He said, "Watch the road." Really, he did. Look it up. Nahum chapter 2, verse 1. Anyway, here comes this Ethiopian. He's riding along his chariot, reading the scroll of Isaiah. And all of a sudden, Philip pops in on the scene, almost like that mother in that TV spot. And he asks this man, "Do you understand what you're reading?" To which the man answers, "Well, how can I unless someone guides me?" That's the better meaning of the word, by the way. Unless someone guides me. And in the plea of this man, who became, as far as we know, the first black Christian, in his plea, we hear the plea of every human being who is seeking guidance to that which is true and noble and enduring. Why did he need guidance? He had the scriptures right there, didn't he? But think about it. This man was reading a portion of Isaiah, which we sometimes refer to as the gospel according to Isaiah. It is a passage about a suffering servant of God who was led like a lamb to the slaughter, who did not so much as raise a whisper in his own defense, who was utterly humiliated and deprived of justice, and whose life was taken from him. But who is it all about? And why is such a tragic story such good news for us? Well, of course the Ethiopian couldn't understand what he was reading. You see, no one, by their own intellect or reason, no one can fully fathom the depth of God's love for us. No one can understand on their own the gospel of his sacrifice for us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the man without the Spirit cannot understand, not will not understand, cannot understand the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. And so the man asks, how can I know unless someone guides me? And now Philip immediately recognizes why God has called him to go to this deserted, forsaken place on the map. He had been called to go there to offer guidance to someone who was seeking truth, who was looking for God, and who was looking for hope and purpose and meaning in his life. And Philip did not waste a moment, but he began with that very passage of Scripture from Isaiah, and he told this man the good news about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, he said. It's all about Jesus. And the news of his slaughter is good news for us because he died, you see, in our place. He placed himself under the wrath of God that we might come under God's blessing and grace. He was slaughtered that we might live. He was humiliated that we might be exalted. He bore the guilt of all that we might be forgiven. And his life was taken from him so that we might be taken to life. And then Philip told him, then God raised his son from the dead, and I was a witness of it. God raised his son from the dead, and that gave the stamp of approval on the sacrifice that Jesus had made. And if all of that sounds too good to be believed, well, now you understand why it requires the Holy Spirit of God to break through the skepticism and the pride and the crustiness of our hearts, to bring us to understanding and to the miracle of Christian faith. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. So, who did the Holy Spirit use to guide you to the gospel? Who was your Philip? Chances are, a part of that answer to that question is your mother, and hopefully your father with her. And that, I think, is the greatest reason we have for celebrating Christian mothers. Mothers do so much for their children, you know, how to cross a street, how to have good manners and healthy eating, and how to avoid things that are bad for you, and the danger of drugs and all of that. But there is no more important guidance that a mother gives a child than when she guides that child to revere and to love the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I think that's where we come back to that hard-hitting television spot where that mother's guiding influence is depicted in the life of her daughter, even when the mother is not physically present with her. That commercial asks parents the question whether they have given guidance to their children with respect to drugs. But our text asks about this Ethiopian, it asks an even more important question of parents, whether you have given guidance to your children with respect to the Lord. Because let's face it, you're going to have a whole lot more opportunity to talk to the young'uns than you'll ever have to talk to eunuchs. And the wonderful thing about the young ones is that they are so wide open to receive your guidance, even as teenagers, though they may not show it as much then, but they're still open to your guidance. Consider the questions that are sometimes asked by children. I found a few. One child asked, why doesn't God just zap the bad people? Or, will God give me toys if I ask Him? Or, how can I fit Jesus in my heart? Or, is Jesus real or was He just pretend? And the one I like, is there a McDonald's in heaven? Imagine that. A Big Mac without the side order of guilt. Moms and grandmas, someone needs your guidance. And God has put you in just the right place at the right time to give your guidance and to influence a child, not just in the things of this life, but to influence them for all of eternity. I thank God today for my Christian mother, because her, along with her and my dad, she guided me to that salvation which is in Jesus Christ. And they taught me what it means to be a Christian. And they still guide me every day, even though we are separated by death and by miles. They were my pillar. And through them, the Holy Spirit called me by the gospel and gave me life's greatest treasure. Who will guide me is a question that's also being asked in your home and family. So start right where you are. You don't have to go to Gaza or to Gilboa or to Gnadenhütten, wherever that is. It's somewhere in Ohio. Looked it up. I don't know where it is, but it's there. You don't have to go to any of those far-flung places to find a searching soul. Because if you're a parent, you're living with them. If you're a grandparent, they live just down the road from you. Be their Philip. Have a devotion with them. Get to church together. Pray together. And by all means, when you have the opportunity to talk about your faith, when the moment is ripe and they've asked you something, jump all over it. Talk about your faith. And let the little ones come unto Jesus. And do not do anything to hinder them. And then, as the proverb says, one day your children will rise up and call you blessed, even as I have stood here before you today and called my parents blessed. And I intend to do so for all of eternity. And then, of course, you will also need to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. You just never know when you're going to run into a distracted Ethiopian chariot driver out on Highway 24 who causes an accident because he's been reading the scroll of Isaiah. And so now you're standing on the side of the road with him, waiting for the police to come and investigate the accident. And he says to you, so sorry. Our pastor warned us about this very thing, about not reading Isaiah while we're driving, but I just can't help it. I love his word. By the way, do you know anything about the Bible? It could happen. Are you prepared to answer? To share your hope in Christ? To guide a searching soul? And to be a Philip? There are so many people who need guidance in this world. Grieving survivors of deceased loved ones. Divorcees and their broken hearts. Teens who are confused by the Da Vinci Code or by adults in their lives whose lives don't match the confession of their lips. Or just people who are inquisitive about matters of the Spirit. Or those who are depressed by the reign of violence and wickedness in this world. So many people, billions of them, all asking, who will guide me? And if we, as Christians, don't step up to the chariot and offer our guidance, somebody else will. That's what's happening in Europe right now. The Christian church has become basically impotent. So into that void comes Islam. They step up to the chariot and they offer their guidance. Where do you think Europe is going? If we don't step up to the chariot and offer our guidance, someone else will. But Pastor, I'm not prepared to offer any kind of guidance like that. You know the answer to that. The answer is very easy, and you just got to do it. Get that Bible out, blow off the dust, open it up, and take up the sword of God's Spirit, which is the Word of God, and learn to use it and to wield it. And then when someone asks, "Who will guide me?" you'll be the one to step up to the chariot and say, "I will. I will." In the precious name of our Savior, amen. May the love of God and His grace, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.